The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
At the club, Club 1080. The hottest spot.
When you lose your starting kicker.
At the club,
I'm thick around the top there.
You are?
No one ever throws the hooker anymore.
So simple, it just might work.
He's not hard, Jason.
She is an unrelenting hoe.
Okay, what's your point?
You whore.
That's well played, Mike Lynch. That's well played.
The amount to which I love the drops on this show cannot be quantified.
No, and Mike, you know, some people work in oils, some people work in clay. Mike works in vulgar drops, and he plays it like a fiddle. He's a master.
Yeah, well done, Michael.
Yeah, that's...
Thank you.
That's well
done. I guess a natural talent.
Yes.
Taking things that people say out of context and making them seem worse.
Yep.
Nicely done.
Yep. Mom always said I'd be good at something. Who knew it'd be this?
Yeah. Ramming it into 300-pound men?
Yeah. That is true. I have rammed it into 300-pound men.
I'm a big fan of that.
Many, many times. It needs to have a nut in it. I stand by that statement. I think we were talking about a candy bar there. The best is sometimes you forget that a drop exists. And then it gets brought up in the perfect context. You're like, oh, my God, there is a drop for everything.
That's the greatness of it.
Or you don't remember what you said. Like, the 300-pound man being run into or rammed into.
Well, that's easy.
That was football.
Yeah.
And having a nut in it, that was my candy bar take. If I'm having a chocolate bar, it needs to have a nut in it. I'm not interested in a Milky Way.
I don't know where this one came from.
Poop on you and then eat it.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's one of my favorites, but I don't know where it came from.
No, it's a strange, it's like you forget over the years. I mean, these have been, 14, 15 years.
But sometimes that's the best.
Yeah. You're like, what?
Is that you forget it exists and that it comes. It's like a reoccurring character.
Yeah.
You know, it was part of a show years ago and it was beloved. And now 2 years later, it's a reoccurring character. Those are the best.
Why are people afraid to swallow?
You're swallowing something that's uncomfortable to swallow.
We need to swallow.
Oh. All three of us have one.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Swallowing ever comes up. We've got that part covered. We will get into some different stuff in the club. I've got Russia bus news. I do want to talk about things that are kind of impressive, but why? Why anyone would actually set out to do these things? And why one pastor says that you should not do yoga because apparently it's of the devil.
I'm looking for more reasons to not do it. So.
Yeah, well, I thought so. But in a somewhat sports-related thing, I love team names. Can I just say in general, I like naming things?
Yes.
That's the best part of having kids or animals.
Yes.
By far.
Agreed.
And I think it should be taken seriously.
It would be cool to have a boat so that you could name it.
Yes, the Wild Hooker. When I was in Mexico last time, I saw someone who named his fishing vessel the Wild Hooker, and that is fantastic.
It would be cool to name your band. It would be cool to cut a CD and come up with cool song titles.
Yeah.
Totally agree with this.
Naming things is a very important part of whatever it is that you
100% agree.
And it bothers me when someone gets a dog and they let the kid name it.
Ugh,
you get like a black and white dog and the kid's like, I'm going to name it Oreo. Yeah. No, you're not.
No, that's the worst.
It's terrible.
Yes. All pet names should be real people names or names from pop culture.
Yes. Something cool that means something.
Yes.
Our cousin, he named his dog Ted and I love it.
Yes.
That's my dog, Ted.
Ted. Or Dave.
Dave.
Dave's a good dog name.
Yes.
This is my dog, Dave.
My wife's old cat was Paul.
See, it's fantastic.
That's funny.
That's good.
Yes. Or.
Named after the Family Guy skit, by the way, if you remember. Or Mayor Adam West finds cats and goes, Fluffy. And here you go, Cuddles. Paul? Who names a cat Paul? That's a human name.
Even better. And that's how it should be. Or you should name your dog Thulsa Doom.
Yes.
That's just how it should be.
Your dog, your beloved dog, was Kaiser Soze.
Kaiser Soze.
And that's fantastic. Yes. You don't name your dog Puddles or Oreo or Spot or something dumb.
Ridiculous.
The responsibility of naming a boat or anything cool or an animal should not be left to a child.
No.
Under no circumstance. That's how you end up with a dog named Scooby.
Yes, you're asking for trouble.
Yes. And it's the same thing when it comes to naming a team. Agreed. If you got a team, like, think about it. If you were to buy a baseball team, that's a very important thing.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe the, to be honest with you, it's the single thing I'm most excited about the MLB to PDX.
Yes.
Is come up with a cool name.
Don't screw it up.
No, you get one chance at this.
Yes, it better not be something lame. Like, you can't be the Bears or the Panthers.
Don't be the Salmon.
No, come up with something cool. The Hillsboro Hops. Awesome. Hit it out of the damn park.
Yes.
Right? And minor league teams do this better than anyone because they're willing to take more chances than anyone else. Like, we now have the Rocket City Trash Pandas. That's fantastic. Yeah. You can get a little more creative with it. Where I just saw today that the Padres AA team is now officially the Amarillo Sod Poodles.
Amen. Amen, Amarillo.
Yes, the Sod Poodles. I guess Sod Poodle is a nickname for the prairie dog.
Really?
Yeah, so I guess down in Texas they have a bunch of prairie dogs.
That's even better.
So
this is Amarillo. I'm checking out the logo.
Yeah, Amarillo. So instead of being the Amarillo Prairie Dogs, because there's all kinds of prairie dogs, no. They came up with the Sod Poodles. And that is good marketing. If you live in Amarillo, you're telling me you're not going out right now and buying an Amarillo Sod Poodles hat?
It's a pretty cool logo.
Damn right.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool. It sort of looks like the Oregon State Fierce Beaver.
Yeah, the Beaver Shark.
Yeah, it looks like the Fierce Beaver wearing a cowboy hat.
Yes.
The cowboy hat has an A on it. And the beaver has, like, a piece of straw.
Yeah.
Like, he's out on the prairie with a piece of straw in his teeth.
They're the sod prairies.
I like
the sod poodles.
I like the sod poodles.
That's fantastic. And that's what you have to do. Like, the Hillsboro Hops, if they were the Hillsboro Cougars,
no
one would pay half as much attention to them.
Dumb.
They hit it out of the... Same thing like the Portland Timbers. That's a cool one. They came up with it. It's, like unique. You can't just do something generic. And so I, for one, applaud the Amarillo Sod Poodles. It's no Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Well, very few are.
But it's pretty kick-ass. It's like if we get a baseball team, wouldn't it be like, so the Rocket City it's somewhere down in the south, and I think they've got like NASA or something down there. I forget the name of it. I think it's a town like in Alabama. Like, there would be something cool instead of going with Golden State Warriors instead of Oakland.
Right.
It'd be cool to be the Rose City.
Rose City something.
Whatever you can.
Instead of Portland. I like that.
It'd be kind of cool to come up with something that would fit. You could be the Rose City whatever. And well, I know,
it kind of, you know, you have Rip City.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of play. You've already kind of established Rip City as a brand, which is cool.
Yes.
And the Rose City, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Rose City,
whatever you come up with. I just think it's, if you're not going to come up with something real unique, I think putting Rose City as like what they did with Golden State.
I agree.
The Golden State Warriors, because not like Warriors is a great name, but Golden State Warriors is so much better than being the Oakland Warriors.
The Oakland Warriors.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Yeah. I like when you come up with something like
that. Did you just come up with that, or has that been bouncing around up there?
No, that's been bouncing around for a while.
I kind of like that.
And it made me think of it whenever town it was down in Alabama, and maybe this is the negative to it, is that I don't remember the name of the town. Down in Alabama, I just remember they're going with Rocket City.
Sure.
And so maybe some people was like, oh, well, it doesn't, because people won't know what Rose City is. I think it's different when you're talking about a Major League Baseball team.
Right.
People will know what Rose City is.
Well, people know that Portland is referred to as the Rose City.
Well, we all know Golden State's in Oakland, right?
Yeah.
I mean, does anyone not know Golden State's California?
Well, when I was growing up, I didn't know it was in Oakland. I knew California, but I had no idea it was in Oakland just because Golden State. But the one thing with baseball is it's such a classic, old-timey, historical league. I don't know if fans would like that, you know? Because any new team that's come in has been Tampa Bay Rays, Arizona Diamondbacks, Washington Nationals.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, it's, mix it up a little bit.
Right, yeah. I'm not sure. That might be received well here, but I'm not sure if in baseball, so it'll be like Rose City.
sure.
Portland. There's no Portland team.
I can see your point, Mike. I can see that.
I could just see that being a thing that gets brought up, like, well, really?
Well, and what does baseball get criticized for, right?
Being too stuck in their ways.
Exactly. So I agree. I can see that. I like it. And I'm usually a throwback baseball. I like the unwritten rules of baseball. I don't like change. I'm pro kind of the old school, you know, you throw at me, I'm going to throw at you type of baseball.
Yep.
But I like where you're going with the Rose City thing.
What would be the mascot then?
I don't know what you'd come up with, but I like the fact that you could use Rose City in kind of the imagery, you know, to go along with whatever logo you came up with, right? Like, I can see Rose City, like, being written across the chest with a cool font and a rose in it, and then whatever your mascot is.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to have something that would play into it, but I just think that would be – I've had that kicking around in my head since I saw the Rocket City. I like that they kind of went outside the box, and I hope they do it. I hope they come up with something cool and unique and don't just settle on something that's fairly generic and be like, eh, here it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's really
– But I guess if they pick the generic name, like Rose City Pioneers or something – then it's still Rose City.
Yeah, at least if you're going to go with something generic like Pioneers or something, like I've heard people, the Explorers or whatever, at least Rose City would give it a little...
Makes a little bit
Yeah, different. Give it a little flair to it.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, I've got... you want either things that are kind of impressive, but you don't know why anyone would do them, or do you want the Satan yoga?
The last time we talked about things that are kind of impressive, it led to me putting 36 Post-its on my face.
That's so true. Let's do it again.
I was going to go the other way, Michael, and just go with another reason not to do yoga.
Post-its, post-its, post-its.
We'll see what happens. We'll play it by ear. Club 1080 when we come back.
Post-its.
Weight loss journey now at betterutoday.com.
Double sun power!
Now we're just getting people chiming in with their idea for the baseball team name. My favorite so far is the Rose City Soccer Rip City USAs.
Some you can't say on air.
No, there's a lot of those.
Had a good one from a caller that was the Rose City Haze.
Rose City Haze?
What kind of haze are they talking about?
I'm guessing. Yeah, there's like we get a lot of those people that are like weed. We're getting the homeless, the protesters, the Antifas.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot that you can make fun of about this city, but there's lots of... This is a great city.
It is
like,
a great
like
city.
Portland is easy to crap on. I get it, like, the whole Portlandia thing.
One of the best.
Portland is a great freaking city to live in. I've lived a lot of places and bounced around the country. There's not many places that are better than Portland. Portland is a great place to live.
Portland is great, and all fun aside, I get that. But you can't, if you get a team, you can't screw this up.
No.
Don't screw this up.
Like, someone brought up the fact that the Mavericks is a popular one, and, you know, because of the old, you know, Portland Mavericks. But doesn't the Rose City Mavericks sound way better than the Portland Mavericks?
Like the Rose City
and that's
Mavericks.
Kind of my point. If you're going to go with the Mavericks, throw in the Rose City. It has a little flair to it. You can have the big M, but you can wrap a rose around it. Now, that always looks cool. Like when they do like the Rose Bowl uniforms.
Yes.
And they wrap a rose around whatever logo they're doing. It's just a good look.
Right.
Right. The Timbers do that with the red. The Timbers are green, but they have like the alternate Rose City uniforms. It's just a good look. Plus, then you keep with the whole red and black thing with the Blazers. Makes sense.
I like the Rose City Mariners. I think that's kind of slick.
I really like the name Pioneers. I know it's generic because a lot of teams in this area get Pioneers as their name or labeled like that.
I don't think that's bad.
But generally in this country of sports, there's really not that many Pioneers.
Sure.
So that's pretty cool.
Well, and again, we talked about it during the break. Instead of the sausage races or the president races in Washington, we could have the covered wagon races in Portland.
And again, Rose City Pioneers greater than Portland Pioneers.
In fact, the stadium...
Well, Portland Pioneers is pretty cool.
The stadium, because it has to have a roof. Could be the covered wagon.
The nickname for the stadium?
The covered wagon.
What are you doing tonight? I'm going to head down to the covered wagon and take on see the Pioneers play.
Well, supposedly the rumor is that it's going to be a translucent roof. You're going to be able to see through it.
What if they made it look like the top of a covered wagon?
Boomer Sooner.
Outside, there are giant spoked wheels.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. This story that I saw today, which I love. Look, there's a lot of religious people. More power to you, right? Whatever floats your boat, whatever gets you through the day, I say whether you're Christian, Hindu, Muslim, Jewish, whatever it is, agnostic, if you've got something that you hold on to that makes you a better person and it doesn't crap on everyone else, more power to you. But every now and then you get some of these wackadoos, and some of the stuff that they throw out there just blows my mind. And, you know, they have, especially down south, they have all these mega churches where, like, they hold arenas. Like, they rent out, like, basketball arenas. The old compact center where the Rockets used to play, that's that Olstein guy.
Yeah, it's a church now.
Yeah, he preaches in there, and he gets, like, 20,000 people that show up.
I think the guy that bought the old Silver in Detroit was going to make it into a super church.
That gets freaky.
I don't know if he ever did, but I think that's what they bought it for.
So I guess there's a mega church, and this comes to us from Springfield, Missouri. And his name is John Lindell. And of all the things that you could say that are evil for us in society, and I'm sure, like, you know, you can get whether you want to talk about, like, pornography, infidelity, booze, drugs. You know, I get all that, right? I don't necessarily agree with it all, but whatever. But he decided, this is in Ozark, Missouri, and he's got a congregation of 11,000 people. A lot of people to show up.
Sure.
In a little small town in Missouri. And he has decided that he is taking aim against the number one threat to his congregation.
Oh, boy.
Yoga.
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 The institution of yoga.
The institution of yoga. Not specifically a yoga studio, John. No, no, no. Yoga.
Gonna need to know why he hates yoga.
Well, clearly it has demonic roots, John. Let's get right down to it. And now there are people in Springfield that are freaking out because they teach yoga for a living. And in a small town, when 11,000 people go to church and the pastor tells them that not to do yoga, apparently a lot of yoga students are freaking out because people aren't going to yoga.
You're out of business.
Yeah. So he said that that yoga has demonic roots. And then more importantly, the positions in yoga were created with demonic intent to open you up to demonic power. Because yoga is Hinduism, and Hinduism is demonic.
Really?
Look at that spiritual math, because that doesn't add up. Show your work. Show your work on how you get from that one. Show me how you get from Hinduism to yoga to demonic possession.
I'm going to have to check the space catalog or Tobin's spirit guide on this one, Big Suit, because that doesn't sound right to me. Maybe I don't know what yoga is. Isn't yoga just stretching and breathing?
No, it is not. It is the same thing, according to Reverend Lindell here, as fortune telling, Wicca, paganism, and finally, yoga. It's all under the same thing. And he says that the fact that yoga has become so prevalent, including classes at the local YMCA.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. They're having it at the Y in Ozark, Missouri, John. He's not going to put up for it. He says to him, that's just an indication of how far our society has drifted into a post-Christian culture. Earlier, it would have been given that yoga was inherently an Eastern mystical form that Christians should absolutely avoid. But that is no longer the case, and that's a shame. Yoga is everywhere, pointing to the local YMCA's class schedule as an example. And then he addressed the yoga poses. They were designed and created with demonic intent to open you up to demonic power, because Hinduism is demonic, and in certain positions, the demonic spirit is better able to enter the body. I would like to know what positions those are, and is the demonic spirit just hanging in the back of the YMCA, and then you go into Warrior 3, and it's like, nope, that's the opening I've been waiting for. Boom! Jumps right in. Next thing you know, you're possessed.
That guy's just sitting there. I can't get in. Oh, wait.
Wait. He's awful bendy.
Now he's stretchy.
It's like the aliens in the probeam. They're waiting for a weak moment to attack.
Why is it just the yoga position that would allow the demon to enter? What about everyday regular positions?
Well, you don't go into those everyday regular positions. At what point are into Warrior 3? Are you doing a headstand in normal day life?
I'm aware of that. But if the demon wants in, the demon can get in, yoga position or not, right?
Well, yeah.
Like, if you're bending over to pick up a dropped cup,
well, that's like
you're in a pose that is somewhat stretchy.
I'm not doing yoga, but when I'm reaching into the back seat to get the Cheeto that my kid dropped on the floor so that it doesn't get smashed into my car's carpet,
you are contorting quite a bit.
That's an awkward, stretchy pose thing.
So if the demon's hanging out in your car,
the demon's riding shotgun, I'm in trouble.
Well, maybe that's the thing, is the demon doesn't know to go to your car. The demon knows to go to the yoga studio, where he waits. Maybe the demon followed the yoga pants into the studio, because if he's anything like me, yoga pants are the greatest thing to happen, like, in 30 years. The fact that women everywhere have become convinced that that should be their everyday wear, that's the best thing to happen to society, and maybe the demon is picking up on that. And that's how he's found his way into the yoga studios.
Any activity that requires special pants,
yeah,
would lead to the attention grabbing.
Well, you know that you do sun salutations in yoga, and you can't do that because that's worshiping the Hindu sun god. And by doing that, he says that opens you up to the demons because it takes the Lord out of the yoga class, and then your spiritual protection from the demons goes away. So you can't do the sun salutations. Otherwise, the demons come in and then they penetrate you. And that's when you're done. That's when the probing begins and now you're possessed. Also, you can't meditate because in yoga, you do meditation, and that's right out too. Because in meditation, he says, you have to clear the mind. And sometimes they chant a mantra. You know, they do the om, om. And that's not good because, again, that can incorporate the names of Hindu gods, thus eliminating the spiritual protection again. And he says that...
Ray, you're chanting, Ray.
Yeah, you can't. Ray. I want to kill everyone.
The Ichabus, Satan. The succubus.
Satan is good. Satan is our pal. Yeah, he says that clearing your mind is very dangerous, that you should not do that. And basically his quote right here, yoga is diametrically opposed to Christianity. Christians should always stay away from yoga because of its demonic and pagan roots. Now, someone might want to point out to him that a lot of our Christmas beliefs are also pagan beliefs, including why it's on December 25th, but we don't want to get into that either.
Mike, somebody here is saying, what's next, outlawing the toilet? Because that's as vulnerable as we get.
That's what I mean.
Right.
You're always squatting. Multiple times a day, men and women are squatting in a vulnerable position.
With no pants.
No.
Let alone special pants.
Yeah, you've got no pants.
No pants. Is that the most vulnerable you can be, is being pantless?
Yes. No, pantless on the toilet. There's nothing more terrifying. There's nothing more terrifying than if you were to be attacked then while going to the bathroom.
Do you sit there on the toilet every time and have your guard up?
No, but it is when you're at your
Someone
most
might
vulnerable.
Attack me.
Yeah. Look, let's say, for instance, I have often said on this program that Brock Lesnar terrifies me maybe more than any other human being.
Sure.
And that if Brock Lesnar ever were to approach me, I would go into my Brock Lesnar defense, which is fetal position, suck my thumb, soil myself. And that he would become so disgusted with me, he would leave me alone. But I'll tell you this. If someone made me attack Brock Lesnar, someone went like Kaiser Sose and kidnapped my children and were like, look, one of two things happens. Either you kill Brock Lesnar or I kill your kids. And I had to plot out my attack. Where do I get Brock Lesnar?
On the toilet.
On the toilet.
On the toilet.
My best chance of attacking and defeating Brock Lesnar on the toilet.
But let's be real
you
here.
You go Austin Powers and come out of the,
yes,
the top while, yes, he's in the toilet.
Yes.
Let's be real here. No matter what your plan of action is, the second you appear in Brock Lesnar's field of vision, you're getting throat punched.
Why are you sneaking from behind?
Right, but and he senses you, and he throat punches up in the air, catches you, and you collapse on the ground. He grabs you, throws you out of the room, picks up his pants, and then proceeds to murder you.
Have either of you seen the new Halloween?
Yes.
No.
It's excellent.
Yes.
It really is really good. The scariest death in there
on
is
the toilet.
The lady's on the toilet, and Michael Myers comes in, and how he announces his presence is he reaches over the stall, and he drops a handful of human teeth.
Yep.
Onto the floor. So not only is she...
I know that's probably scary in the movie, but hearing it said from you...
Oh, it's scary.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm like...
Because he just pulled,
really,
the teeth out of her partner's, yeah, mouth that he just killed. But she's on the toilet, pantless,
yep,
and now there's teeth on the floor.
Wait, is there nudity in the movie?
No.
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 But she is pantless.
Yeah.
Look at Mike. She's on the toilet. Is she naked? On the toilet?
I think we just learned something about Mike.
No, Mike.
I'm just saying, that's when you're at your most vulnerable. If I had to attack, oh my God, yeah, we are so far over. I'm just saying, if I had to attack someone, I'm choosing the toilet.
Fair enough.
It's the only chance I have. And so the demonic spirit, instead of going to yoga classes, go to the toilet. It's when we are at our most vulnerable.
I'm looking at you, number two.
Yes. And don't do yoga because apparently Satan's coming for you and the demons. All right, we come back. Russia bus talk and things that are kind of impressive, but you have no idea why anyone on God's green earth would do them.
Bifurcate.
I'm saying that this may be the longest I've been over in quite some time.
Yeah, let's. Can we break now?
I'm over by what? Almost 10 minutes?
Weight loss journey now at betterutoday.com.
Double sun power!
And we're back. And it's time to break.
And we're out.
Actually, technically, I believe I'm over. The break should be at 42, and it's now 43. So technically, I'm already late for this
show
segment.
Has been a Swiss watch, and now you're screwing it up at the end.
We did derail it quite a bit. Although on the plus side, normally this is where we would go long again, and then your segment would be cut by, like, I don't know, you get like 35 seconds. But now you're here.
But I'm here.
And you've been here for 4 hours, so it doesn't really matter that we cut the last segment short by 4 or 5 minutes.
I'm sure you've noticed, John, but the last 2 weeks of your segments, they've basically been a minute each.
Except for
one segment where they gave you like 8 minutes for some reason.
You know
reason.
What? I like to... My segment's kind of a living, breathing segment.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was intended to just be the end of the show. And sometimes the end of that show is 6 or 7 minutes.
Well, in reality, it was intended because Rob didn't want to build momentum.
Right.
The original origin of that is we used to have to do a thing. It was sponsored as the Mariner Momentum Builder.
Yes.
And Rob got pissed because Rob got tired of having to try to come up with a momentum builder.
And I got mad at him once.
Yeah, and so Rob's like, you do it. And you said, all right. And that was like 8 years ago.
It was not right before Griffey came back. I think Griffey came back in 2009. So it's been like 10 years.
Yeah.
But that's how it started.
It was Rob basically shirking his duties. That's
right.
What it was.
Well, and it used to be just during the baseball season.
Yeah.
And then after a while, everybody was like, hey, let's just keep calling you.
Let's do that.
And it happens. But it's a living, breathing segment. And yeah. So sometimes it's a minute long. Sometimes it's 10 seconds long. Sometimes I get bumped for Lee Majors.
Sometimes you lose. Sometimes you win. Sometimes
it rains.
It rains. all right. So this one here. This is what led to the whole sticky note post-it face thing, which we probably don't have time to get into deep details about. But the whole point of this was sometimes you read a story about someone and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Sometimes there's a...
And then you think to yourself, well, that's cool that you accomplished that. Why the hell did you try that in the first place?
Why are you good at that?
Yes. I was clicking around on a story today and I came across this one of a 23-year-old gal that traversed the great country of ours. And not just like the easy way. She went from like Florida and they made her way up and across the United States. It was over 4,000 miles, and she went across the country on rollerblades.
Why?
Not just that. Would you care to guess what she took with her on this journey?
Post-it notes?
Nothing. No money.
Really?
No food. No resources. She just took a backpack.
She just went.
Backpack and a GPS, and then she went across the country. And she was relying on the kindness of strangers to provide for her. And by the way, she's kind of a cute 23-year-old Asian gal.
I was going to say, is this kind of a roller girl
type of situation? I'm not going to say she's hot, but she's not ugly. She's a cute 23-year-old. And she just has the one backpack, and she rollerbladed across the United States, 4,000 miles. And when I first saw that, her name was Yancy Ho.
Okay.
I didn't make that up. That's her actual name. And I thought to myself, wow, that's kind of impressive. You went across the United States. And she had like a selfie stick that she attached to like her backpack so she could film herself doing it the entire time. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. And then I thought to myself, why on earth would you rollerblade across the country? And why on earth would you rollerblade across the country with no money?
Why would you even think to do that? Was she trying to raise awareness or something, or she just wanted to do it?
She just wanted to do it. She just wanted to see if she could do it. It took her 7 months to do. And she kicked off her adventure in Miami, and she made it to California. And so she said she took no money. She relied instead on the kindness of others to have a place to sleep and to eat. You're just asking to be murdered at that point. You really are.
Yeah.
You're 23 years old. You're a cute gal. You brought nothing with you, and you're rollerblading across the United States. Yes, it's impressive that you did that. But at the same time, this is like the whole Guinness Book of World Record thing. Why? Why would you even think to do that?
Did she have a coat?
Yeah, she had a jacket. Well, that's the backpack. And she said that she did have some tough days with like heavy rains, fierce winds, all that. She was going across the desert at some point. She could have easily died.
Huh. Yeah, I don't understand the draw of doing that.
It seems absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Someone's saying that she ended her journey here in Portland.
Well, of course.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Of course. Yeah.
All right, we come back. We'll put the finishing touches on whatever the hell this was today. Hey, Sooks has addition to Primetime.
BizNet offers a number of national and regional carriers to choose from to maximize your coverage at the best value. Online at BISNETT.com.
Well, it's your segment.
I got nothing left. Haven't I done enough today?
I'm turning it over to you. This is your segment.
But you didn't do anything. Oh, didn't I?
You don't even really work here. Entertain the people.
Okay, I do want to talk about this real quick, but not in the way that you think. You've all... Thanks, Mike.
You've got 3 minutes. Go.
Okay, my point is everybody has heard the now famous Mike Leach coach fight question.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even get to this
today. No, we didn't get to this.
That's a shame.
But for those of you that don't know, somebody asked the great Mike Leach, coach of my Washington State Cougars, who he thought would win in a coach fight. And I think it's pretty clear that it would be one of three people. It would either be Whittingham at Utah,
yeah,
who's probably the favorite.
Yes.
That guy looks dangerous.
He looked like he'd kick your ass.
Cristobal was called formidable.
Yeah.
And then my dark horse is Wilcox.
Yeah, there's no way you grew up in the Wilcox family without knowing how to throw down. And he's one of those small, wiry, thin UFC fighter types.
You know he's ready at any time for his brother Josh to just jump on his back and fight.
Yes.
So, okay. And then you have a bunch of guys in the middle. So my question to you is, who is last?
How did we not? I'm ashamed that we didn't get to this.
Who's last in the Pac-12? Who would be the worst coach in the coach fight? And I think it's one of two people.
Well, it's either Jonathan Smith or Chris Peterson.
Bingo.
Right?
And I think it's Chris Peterson. Not only is he, well, I'll keep it above board. I just look at Chris Peterson. There's no way that guy's beating up anybody.
No.
Jonathan Smith is a little guy. He's a cute little guy.
Yeah.
But used to play, former athlete. I bet he's wiry. Chris Peterson's a pacifist, for crying out loud.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah.
Though Chris Peterson would have the length of the jab.
I'd say you throw those 12 coaches into a ring. First guy out, Chris Peterson.
I don't know. Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly's the guy in prison that would pay Whittingham to protect him.
Chip is like, have you seen him? Like, he is not taking good care of himself. He's like short and fat. Peterson at least is in shape.
Either that or Leach and Chip Kelly would pretend to fight off in one corner and just hope nobody else really noticed them.
I'm really bothered that we didn't get to this.
If only you had a show tomorrow to talk about it.
Yeah, but it won't be the same. You won't be here for that.
Well, I'm going on record as saying Chris Peterson is the worst coach in the Pac-12 as far as the coach fight rankings.
All right, what do we have next? Is it Duck Insider?
Duck Insider, yes.
Get Inside the Ducks coming up next. You've been listening to Sooks of Hazzard Primetime here on The Fan.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships of Spain.
That's 50% stupid.
Me.
Do you want to lick my fingers?